I'm Avery Mars.
And I'm Brendan Roach.
And you're listening to the Kettle Club podcast on the St. Joseph's Sports Network.
Welcome back to the Kettle Club podcast. Today our discussion is going to be about preseason and I guess the training and everything that goes really into a team's preseason. I mean, it's not typically a fun thing to go through, but it's kind of fun to talk about because it's a challenging and kind of emotionally and physically and also mentally tough concept and something that you have to get around. Joining me is my co-host Avery Mars.
Hey everybody.
Yeah, and yeah. I think we're really excited to talk about this.
Yeah, I agree. I think kind of what you touched on, it's a little different for everyone too. So I know our preseason kind of spanned at basketball like a 3-4 week period. I don't know how long yours was, but I'm sure it feels like months. But
yeah, I mean, I think it's right when you get back onto campus for us. It was like the first 2 weeks, kind of like your hell weeks, just to, I guess, get you prepared for the like what you're going to go through throughout the course of your season, not only off season and in the season. But then it also ramps back up right once you get back to school after Christmas break. And it's a good 2-3 weeks of go.
Right. And our guests obviously today are from the men's lax team and they have a similar preseason time to baseball where you've already been on campus. You know, you probably had so many workouts already with your team, which I think is interesting to preseason. Because for us, we don't really know our teammates, and then we're just automatically in preseason with them, which, like you said, is a grind. So like I said, our guests today are from the men's lax team. We have Mike Adler, who is a redshirt junior, academically a senior, so he's almost done and ready to graduate, I'm assuming. And then we have Zach Cole, who's a sophomore, so welcome, guys.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
No problem. So just a first question, I think. Preseason, we think of preseason, we think of morning, or at least I do. So what's the earliest you've woken up this preseason?
Yeah, our coach this preseason, he like truly values taking care of our bodies. So he wants all the rest that we can get. So we haven't really been doing the early morning practices or the early morning run. That usually comes before our Christmas break and our fall season. So the preseason, we only have like 2 or 3 weeks and then we start playing. So it's really, we can't be pushing our bodies that hard. We got to be preparing for the games. So it hasn't really been too early this preseason.
What's that transition like from the, like you said, the earlier fall is what you said, right? Mm-hmm. You had the earlier practices into preseason. What's kind of the difference there? How do you know that you're ramping up a little bit?
Yeah, so I think the fall is more about individual development, making sure that you are the best player you can be. And the coach is really focusing on the individual's skill set, whether that's shooting, passing, but then it also goes to your body, like being in physical shape, running, lifting, and it's definitely a bit heavy in the fall. And then we have that month off to go home for Christmas break and New Year's, and we come back and it's 2 weeks. So this year, as just the players, we really wanted to have our preseason start on our own in when we're home for the holidays. And it definitely, there's a level of discipline there. When you're at school, you have everything within walking distance to you, the gym, the field. It's tough when you go home, it's 20 degrees out, and you kind of have to start doing things on your own, running, lifting. So as a team, we really focused on starting our preseason off before we even come back to school for the actual preseason.
And Zach, you're a sophomore, so you're on the younger end.
Yeah.
Do you remember what it was like freshman year coming in with that fall to preseason transition? Can you talk about that a little bit?
I mean, I had a rough start when I came here. I had mono for the month leading up to when I first came here. So I had about 2 weeks before I came on campus to try to get myself into shape. And our running test is pretty intense. So
explain, what's the running test?
So it's 5 300-yard shuttles and 50-yard increments, and you have to have it in an average of 55 seconds. So, I mean,
So
you start off on one end line, you run 50 yards back, 50 yards back, 50 yards back, and you have to have it an average of 55 seconds, and you do it 5 times.
Wow.
So trying to figure that out in 2 weeks was kind of difficult, but I got into shape, and I mean, like Mike said, the fall is always intense. coaches kind of on everyone. It's about, like, individual improvement and stuff like that. And then, obviously, you go home over break, and as a freshman, you can see, like, it's hard to hold yourself accountable because you really don't know what it's going to be like when you come back because it's your first experience playing Division I lacrosse. But, I mean, I think a lot of people or the older kids, like, hold us accountable, and we can kind of figure it out and come back ready to go. And I think we did that this year, and I'm excited to get after it.
Yeah.
I think for me, like, coming in as a freshman, I was always afraid to do bad in those conditioning tests. Mm-hmm. So it was almost the fear that propelled me of, like, being the young guy who doesn't pass. And almost like my sophomore, junior year, it was almost way more difficult for me personally to do those running tests. Like, have you guys felt that at all?
On my end, not really. I think freshman year, I wanted to be in shape, just as you said, for that fear. But now it's like, I want to be in shape just to be kind of the best teammate I can be. I mean, whether you want to or not, as an older as an upperclassman, people look up to you. So I felt that was kind of the main push behind my conditioning, was just, how can I tell other people to be in shape and tell the younger guys to be in shape when I'm the one kind of slouching? So that's really pushed me to kind of just get better each year.
Going off that, I mean, if you fail your run test now, you kind of have a little bit of extra conditioning during the week, so I prefer not to do that. But, I mean, you want to lead by example as much as you can, so you kind of want to hold yourself accountable so you have everyone looking up to you.
Is there a workout you guys can think of, and you've been here a little bit longer, that you remember that was one of your hardest workouts? I know we talked about prepping for the test, right? Like, the test doesn't just happen. Yes, there's a lot of anxiety and fear leading up to it, but I think it's all those tests kind of in practice and in workouts beforehand that really prepare you. So is there one that's ingrained in you and you can't let it go?
So at the end of the fall, at the end of the fall, we have, for me, it's something called the final workout. And it's like one day, and usually we condition before practice for like 30, 40 minutes. It's not too long, but the final workout is a full practice time, and our coach gets pretty creative with it. And usually, usually there's four quarters. Usually it's four quarters, and it's just about kind of just mental toughness. I wouldn't really say it's too many lacrosse related sprints or cutting. It's just like, listen, this is going to be tough. It's going to suck, but we're going to do it together, and you're going to find out whether you want to be here or not want to be here. And that's kind of like a good, like, ending to the fall and beginning to the preseason.
For me, it's probably last year we only did it one time, but it's called the Belmont Run.
And where do these names come from? Is this your
coach? We did the Belmont Run. Tough man exercises.
I don't know the Belmont Run.
I don't even know where the Belmont Run came from, but you basically start on the field. We do our stretch, and then kind of take off through the streets of around St. Joe's, run to the Belmont Plateau, and then do a couple hill sprints, and then run back. That was last year. I think we started that at like 6:30 in the morning, and then I had an 8 o'clock Spanish class. I was just sweating through that.
And you were on time, right?
Yeah.
There you go. I know that sweat. Yeah. After you're still showering, you're still sweating. Yeah, that's fine. I never had the Belmont Run. We had
ours,
we had
was
the
a
mile.
Little different, but it was essentially the hill at Belmont's.
Yeah,
it's pretty tough.
Yeah.
But I know you guys did a tough man event this year with the baseball team, because I used to love, but definitely hate, our tough man events. But I know you guys did kind of like a competition with the baseball team, which I wasn't able to experience.
We saw just, it though. We went
being
in there,
a
we
year
saw, yeah.
removed. But if you guys could, I guess, kind of illustrate what that really was.
Yeah, so I think the fall for both teams, it gets pretty, like you guys say, like a grind, because you're not playing other teams, so you're just playing yourself. So anytime you can kind of emulate that competition, it makes you better. So the baseball team, it was the first year, and just getting the competitive juices flowing, it's awesome. I mean, you want to have bragging rights. And the first day, it wasn't really too much conditioning. It was flag football, and baseball kind of crushed us. So the lacrosse team was in a little bit of a hole. But the next day, I think, was more running. So that was geared more towards the lacrosse kids. I think we're a little bit better as in terms of cutting and endurance. So we kind of came back, and the final day was just lifting everything. And it was one of the hardest things I've ever done here in my life. But it was awesome. And it was really cool to watch kids compete, because you don't really get to see how teammates react to when there's somebody across from you that's trying to beat you in something. So it was really cool to see.
Yeah, we're going to take a break now, but I think when we come back, I want to talk about the difference between off-field conditioning and when you're on the field, because I think we all have that game conditioning that you need to build up, which is very different, I think, from the lifting and some of the preseason stuff. So we'll touch on that when we come back.
Hey, it's Avery and Brendan from the Kettle Club Podcast, here to tell you about our friends at Landmark Americana Tap and Grill, right here on St. Joseph's campus and across the street from Hagen Arena.
Landmark Americana is your home on Hawk Hill for eats and drinks all day long. Landmark offers 14 HD TVs, a private party space, and a wide variety of specials. SGU faculty and staff receive 20% off lunch and discounted drinks every day, as well as happy hour specials Monday through Friday from 4 to 7, including half-price wings, fries, and other appetizers like cheesesteak egg rolls, nachos, and tenders.
Landmark also has trivia on Tuesday nights and bingo on Wednesday for all ages. Come join us at Landmark Americana on 54th Street, right off of City Line Avenue, before a Hawk basketball game or for your next night out.
All right, welcome back to the Kettle Club Podcast. Before the break, we were talking about conditioning off the field and on the field and how different that can be. So do one of you want to talk about what on the field conditioning looks like and how you guys actually get into game shape with scrimmages coming?
I mean, off-field conditioning, we do most of that in the fall. So that's kind of just like trying to keep yourself in shape going through the grind that we have in the fall. And then once you come around into game shape, I mean, I'm a face-off guy, so I'm on the field basically 10 seconds at a time, but I have to kind of give it my all in 10 seconds because I'm coming off. So, I mean, just during practice and stuff like that, we just try to simulate drills of, like, moving in short periods of times at a fast pace against, like, going against my other teammates. But, I mean, I have to be in good shape, but I don't definitely have to be in the shape that like a midi is running back and forth up and down the field. But
yeah, can you talk about your position a little bit? Because I think it's probably one of the most interesting positions in sports that you only have about 10 seconds and you're off.
So in lacrosse, there's a face-off at the start of every quarter and a face-off after every goal. And I mean, the face-off guy just comes in and the ball gets placed down in between the two of you and you have your stick and you have to try to cover the ball and pick it up. And after that, basically, your job's done. You got to give it to one of the offensive guys and get off the field. And if you lose the face-off, the opposing face-off guy kind of gives it to his offense and gets it off the field. But, I mean, it's a really important position because if you score a goal, you can basically play make it, take it if you get the ball back every time. And, I mean, when games come down to the end and you need a possession, the team with the better face-off guy usually comes off on top.
Yeah, it's weird because it's like it's a team sport, but you're playing one-on-one, you know, which I think is very interesting. I'm sure you kind of had your different feelings about it too.
I mean, yeah, there's always a lot of pressure on you, I feel like, because it's kind of like one-on-one. It's kind of like separate from the rest of the game. But you do have two guys on your wings that can kind of help you up if it's not like a clean face-off. So they're also very important too.
Yeah, and I think Zach's kind of selling himself a bit short here. It's like... Usually the face-off guy faces off, tries to get the ball, and then just passes it off to a teammate as quick as possible. But what separates Zach from kind of the rest of the face-off guys that I've played with or played against, it's his ability to score and kind of create for his teammates. So I think he's selling himself short a bit when he's saying he's on the field for 10 seconds and then runs off. He's got a good shot, and as a goalie, I kind of see that. And, he's a good athlete as well.
Right. Yeah, he's like, thanks, buddy. No, I think it's interesting, like I said, just the fact that it's a one-on-one. But same with you as a goalie. Like, I'm sure you experience those moments of you're seeing the field from a very different perspective than anybody else, as he is most likely. Mm-hmm. So how is that kind of with that pressure that he talked about a little bit going into your seniors or junior season, whatever you want to call it?
Yeah.
And just being a leader, obviously off the field, but on the field as a goalie as well.
Yeah, I think as a goalie, you're a leader whether you want to be a leader or not. You're the quarterback of the defense, so you don't really have a choice. You're in a leadership position. So as a goalie, you don't run, as Zach said, as much as like the midfielders, the attackmen, the defensemen. So you have to make it up by being the most vocal or just when it is your opportunity to do something, you make a play. And that's kind of what I try to do is just try to be the best teammate. I think it's easy to see it as like, all right, I'm the goalie. Like, I could do this individually. Like, I just need to stop every shot and we'll be fine. But in lacrosse, that's like a shutout is unheard of. So you're going to have to rely on your teammates. So as a goalie, I just try to be the best teammate I can be. And I think that that kind of takes care of other facets like the leadership thing and conditioning and just being there for other people.
Right.
I mean, you guys just went through two preseason games, and it seems like the more and more I hear about lacrosse, you really do have to start clicking together as a team in terms of spacing and everything that goes into the game. How did you guys feel coming off of those two games?
So when we came back on preseason, we have a lot of depth. I think this is the most depth I've ever had on a team. So there's a lot of young guys that are pushing for spots. We had three seniors graduate last year. So in the first week or so when we were here, the offense was not struggling a little bit, but they were just trying to figure everything out. Everyone's trying to fill a starting spot, second line, middy, different attack combination. So, I mean, the more people started to play together, I think we started to click against Lehigh. But you can just see that, like, the offense is starting to figure it out, and people are starting to, like, fill their positions.
Yeah, and I see it. It's funny. When I walk past the field, you're the team that I always hear. Like, I don't know what you guys are necessarily yelling sometimes, but I can always hear you guys. So how are you guys taking that energy from the practices that you've had? How many practices have you had? 100 now, something like that. Because you're all there all fall.
Yeah.
And then you have these two scrimmages where you guys don't necessarily keep score, but I'm sure there's some buildup and there's the competition, you know, outside of your team. How are you taking all that energy into the first game coming up on Sunday?
Yeah, I think it's a long process from the start of the school year to now, just playing yourself, and you get some scrimmages here and there, but the energy that we've had in practice thus far has been phenomenal, and we expect that to even be better during the games. I think one kind of quote that has kept us going through the preseason is we have one of the toughest schedules ever, so it's being the underdog is the greatest competitive advantage you can have in sports. And I think that's something that has just provided us with so much drive. And going into the first game against St. Bonaventure, which is a tremendous team, and then right away we go into Penn State, who's preseason number one. So that energy is, we might not be the most talented team, but we're definitely not going to get outworked. We're definitely not going to get out hustled. So that's kind of what drives us. And I think that accumulates at practice with that energy.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that you have to keep in mind in preseason is you're not the only team that's going through this right now, whether it's the conditioning aspect, whether it's the grind of practicing every day. And it's kind of that mentality like you were talking about, that you don't want to be outworked on the field, and you know that they're working just as hard as you currently, so it just gives you that extra motivation.
Yeah, exactly. One thing that kind of our coaches always harp on, and like our team really takes pride in, is that we're not going to get outworked, and that definitely starts in the preseason. So that's
especially with the fall and like all the things we do. It's hard to believe that a lot of other teams like work as hard as we do, but I mean,
yeah. And can you guys talk about the stadium you guys are going to be in on Sunday? Because I think that's a big deal, right? That's going to add, I think, to the hype if you guys aren't already hype enough for the first game.
Yeah, in lacrosse, you don't really get too many chances to play inside, so playing inside, it just makes everything so much louder.
Yeah.
So as a team, that can be a good and a bad thing. I mean, you got to communicate, but you also have to say the right thing. You just can't scream and yell pointless things. So it's going to be awesome. I saw pictures of it. It's a really cool place. And I know the seating is a bit funky, but
What's funky about the
seating? Lawn chairs.
Yeah, lawn chairs.
Oh, okay.
They don't have any stadiums.
Your parents got to bring little cushions or something,
yeah, there's
right?
Like a 500... person limit too, so
it'll be tight packed in there.
Yeah,
you guys will hear everything. And again, we touched on the age difference a little bit here, and I know you've been around now, you're a senior academically. What's something you think you're taking into this year that's a little different for both of you than the past year?
Getting up there, it's just
there.
Leaving the program better than how I found it is something that that's kind of been driving me, just to be a good teammate, to be a good player. I know the seniors before me and just all the alumni, they've built the program basically from not great to a top 20 program. So I think I owe them something. And then it's also paying back what Coach Ray has done for me and the coaching staff. I owe them a lot. If it wasn't from them, I don't know if I would be playing college lacrosse. So I have to give back to them, but mostly the teammates around me. I just want to be remembered as the best teammate. And if I can do that, I think I can be pretty successful.
So he's doing a pretty good job, right, Zach?
Yeah, he is. I mean, this year, I think I bring more experience from last year, kind of coming in as a freshman face-off guy. I was 19 years old, 18 years old, facing off against, like, 21-year-old grown men that are bench way more than I did. And
we won't list them. Yeah.
I mean, I think I just worked really hard this offseason to try to get myself in the best possible shape that I can to try to compete against some of the best kids in the country. I know we face off against, or I'm going to face off against two of the preseason All-Americans. So, I mean, I bring more experience from that aspect. Over the summer, I got to face off against some of the top kids in the country, just like going around in the summer at summer tournaments and just meeting up with different kids. But obviously, I want to try to bring more of like a leadership role and try to bring up the floor, because I think we have a pretty special team and we can do something with it.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, you had kind of alluded to it, and I know I've always noticed this, is I was a little jealous of playing baseball that you guys brought a little bit more noise than us, or my personal opinion, in the weight room. And I just felt like you guys really had an energy about you, and I can see that even on the field. I mean, are you guys, like, how excited are you guys for this season?
Yeah, I think this year in particular, it's, like, one word that always gets thrown around is, like, special. Like, oh, there's a special team, but it's never been thrown around so much than this year. I think we return everybody, so that was a huge advantage. And then the freshman that came in was one of the best recruiting classes that I've ever seen here. So it's just we have so much talent, and we've worked so hard thus far that there is like a certain kind of ambiance around the team, whether that's in the weight room or on the field. And you can almost like feel like it's a good vibe, not to sound so.
Which is interesting because you talked about the underdog, because you are in like in terms of opponents, I think. But
yeah.
I think I don't notice that in terms of like you said, when we pass the field or when we talk to you guys, like you guys do have a confidence to you. And I think you're going to bring that to the bigger games like Penn State. But like I said, I can see how that can go both ways. You know, it's special being thrown around. I'm sure it brings a little pressure as well. So,
yeah,
I mean, from my perspective, I mean, we're not like the biggest school. We're not playing in a Big Ten conference or an ACC conference. But when you go up to those schools and they may take us lightly and they don't know how hard we've been working, I think that maybe there's a chance that we could sneak them, go up there. But, I mean, around here, everyone knows that we have a lot of talent. We're still trying to figure things out and click it together. But hopefully by the time May rolls around, we have everything in order and we can try to win an NEC championship.
And bring it here, right? You guys are one of the, I think, one of the only programs here that has their championship wherever is the highest seed, is that right?
Yeah.
Which I think is awesome. You guys bring all the tents out. We talk about in the office all the time, just seeing all the tents for all these, like, lacrosse. All your family comes. Like, it seems like it's a whole reunion and party. So hopefully we can be a part of that this year. I think that'll be fun. And hopefully you guys, you know, first get the first win. Yeah, I think that's most important, of course, which I'm sure your coach is definitely honing in on. But we just want to thank you guys for coming and being here. You know, I think it's been great, and we're excited, like we said, to watch you guys play and get some W's this season. So
thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. You can find the Kettle Club and any other St. Joseph Sports Network podcasts at sjuhawks.com/podcasts. You can also find us on iTunes, Google Play Music, Stitcher, and the TuneIn app. Just search for St. Joseph Sports Network. We'll see you next time, because the Hawk will never die.
Handle all your banking remotely with Univest Mobile Platform. Easy, convenient, secure, because life needs a little more wow. Live life, stay connected with Univest. Univest Bank and Trust Company, member FDIC.
Rothman Orthopedics, the official team physicians of your St. Joseph's Hawks, provides the region with unmatched orthopedic care. For more information or to schedule an appointment, visit www.rothmanortho.com. For orthopedic excellence, think Rothman first. We'll be right back.